Welcome to Pilates Elephants. I'm Raphael Bender. Today I want to talk about the distinction between hard exercises and exercises that are effective for strengthening. And it is quite an important distinction because exercises can in fact be very hard and at the same time not very effective at all for improving strength. And I think this is particularly an issue in Pilates because we have three ways or three dimensions on which we can increase or decrease challenge for our clients. And those three dimensions in any exercise are strength, range of motion, and control. And so every movement, every exercise that humans can do, everything we do in a Pilates class can be categorized within these three dimensions along a scale of difficulty, you know, somewhere from very easy to very hard in terms of strength, very easy to very hard in terms of range of motion, and very easy to very hard in terms of control. And by control, I mean a combination of coordination, proprioception, balance, agility, you know, all of those things that aren't strength or range of motion, but involve, you know, movement precision, movement accuracy, movement timing, etc. So strength, range of motion, and control are the three dimensions on which we can set the difficulty level or define the difficulty level of each movement. And we can make a movement very, very hard on one or two of those dimensions, but still not that hard on the other one. And the exercise can end up being very, very hard. Let me give you a couple of examples. So an exercise like, say, push-ups on the floor, for most people, especially most females who tend to have lower upper body strength than males, push-ups on the floor are pretty hard in terms of strength. They're a pretty big challenge strength-wise. And they're not a great challenge in terms of range of motion. Most people don't feel push-ups as a stretch. When you bring your chest all the way to the floor in a push-up, for most people, that is not the full range of motion of the shoulder joint. And they're not a great challenge in terms of control. There are elements of control in terms of keeping your torso rigid, keeping your head position, etc. But relative to, say, doing push-ups with feet on a fit ball, hands on a Bosu, which is a lot more unstable, that would be a much greater challenge to control. So because push-ups are very stable, you have 4 points of contact on the floor. For most people, the control element isn't the limiting factor, it's strength. You know, the reason people can't do more push-ups is not because it's too stretchy. It's not because it's too fiddly, the balance is too hard, it's because they're not strong enough. So I would say for most people, push-ups are a great exercise for challenging strength because strength is a limiting factor in that movement. Whereas something like a front split on the reformer, done with hands and one foot on the foot bar and the other foot on the shoulder block on a relatively light spring, is a pretty minimal challenge to strength. The carriage goes out easily, it comes in easily. It's a relatively minimal challenge to coordination. The carriage only moves in one direction. You've got 4 points of contact. But it is a very big challenge to flexibility for most people. And so the limiting factor on that exercise for most people is going to be range of motion. So front splits with hands on the footbar on a lightish spring is going to be a very effective way to increase flexibility for most people, because flexibility is going to be the main limiting factor in that movement. And I would say that for somebody for whom that is true, for somebody who for whom the front splits with hands on the footbar are a flexibility challenge, like I'm talking about someone who can't already do a full split, somebody for whom that is a challenge to flexibility, that will be a hard exercise. And for someone for whom push-ups are a strength challenge, like someone who can't do more than, let's say, 10 push-ups, full body push-ups, push-ups are a hard exercise because there's a lot of strength challenge. And then we have control, the dimension of control. Now we can challenge control by any combination of proprioception, which is our internal bodily positional sense of where our limbs are in space, and coordination, moving our limbs in different directions at the same time, balance, reducing our points of contact with the ground, or increasing instability, putting us on an unstable surface. Any combination of those things will increase the challenge to control. For example, teaser on the long box on the reformer is a very challenging exercise in terms of control. And the reason for that is because as you lift up, you start lying on your back on the box, hands in the straps, feet draped over the footbar, spine extended, head hanging down past the end of the box, looking back at the pulleys. And then you pull into the ropes and curl forwards and lift your legs and push your arms forwards towards your feet and lift up into a kind of a V-sit position with your back a little bit rounded and reaching your arms forwards parallel with the legs. And so there is a challenge to strength because you're using your shoulders, you're using your abdominals, you're using your hip flexors. There's not much challenge to range of motion. You know, there's a little bit of spinal extension at the start. It's kind of a passive position. And there is a great deal of challenge to control. And the reason that it's a great deal of challenge to control is because as you pull into the ropes, you pull the carriage away from the stopper. And so as you're curling forward, the carriage is moving backwards at the same time. And the faster you curl forwards, the faster the carriage moves backwards, because your hands that are pulling you forwards are also pulling the carriage backwards. So there is a very significant challenge to your control, because if you recruit your abdominals and hip flexors and shoulder flexors too forcefully, you will overbalance towards the footbar. You will sit up too far and you will sit down onto the box. You'll come up to a sitting position, not to a teaser position, because the carriage is going backwards and you're going forwards. And if you do that too fast, you will overcorrect. Whereas in order to maintain your balance and to come up to a balanced teaser at the top of the movement, you need to contract your abs, hip flexors, and shoulder muscles only the right amount, not too much, not too little, enough to lift you up, but not too much to make you go too far. And because the carriage is moving backwards at the same time as that you're moving forwards, the level of precision required is far greater than when you do the same movement on the mat. Because on the mat, it's just you that's moving. The floor is not moving backwards at the same time. So for most people, in teaser on the reformer, it's not strength or flexibility that's the main limitation to the exercise, it's actually the control. Because if they exert their full strength, they simply overbalance forwards. And if they don't exert enough strength, they don't lift up. And so the challenge is not being able to be strong enough, it is being able to exert the exact right percentage of their strength in order to have enough force to sit up, but not too much force so they overbalance. And so in teaser, most people, when they first begin, either can't sit up or sit up and go too far. And if someone can't sit up on the long box, on reformer, on teaser, but they can do a teaser on the mat, it's not a strength issue, it's a control issue. Now, there are many other examples of exercises where we integrate control, strength, and range of motion. And I think we do this an awful lot. And when I say awful lot, I don't mean it's awful. I just mean we do it a lot in Pilates, where we make exercises harder. And I think we often, or I often see people making exercises harder by increasing the control challenge so that often control is the limiting factor on the exercise. And so think about anything that involves being on a carriage with a relatively light spring, with a relatively small base of support, or on some, with some other unstable kind of platform, whether on a Bosu or a Fitball. Trying to maintain some kind of unstable object precariously, like a magic circle between your knees or a mini ball between, you know, between your, at the back of your knee. You know, there are lots of different variations where we create instability for our clients to make the move harder. Or even things like doing a row, a dumbbell row, incorporating dumbbells into the Pilates work, whilst doing some other exercise. So for example, doing a lunge with a row at the bottom. Then if we do a lunge or a lunge with the front foot on the platform with a row at the bottom, we're adding more instability as well as the row. And because of that, in many of those situations, the control becomes the main limiting factor on the movement rather than strength or range of motion. And the dimension that is the main limitation, strength, range of motion, or control, is the one that will be challenged most and hence is the one that will be stimulated to improve. You know, if you do an exercise where strength is the main limiting factor and you go right to your level of ability, it's going to stimulate you to get stronger. If you do an exercise that doesn't challenge your strength, where you don't get pushed to close to your limit in terms of strength, it's not going to stimulate you to get stronger. And the same with flexibility and the same with control. So to stimulate each of these abilities, strength, range of motion, and control, we have to challenge each of them at a level that is very close to our maximum capacity. You know, I mean, if you can do 10 push-ups, but you do 2 push-ups and then call that a workout and go home, you're not going to get any stronger. You know, you have to go close to your maximum ability. If you can do a full split and then you do a half split, it's not going to increase your flexibility. If you can balance on one foot on a Bosu, but you stand on 2 feet on the floor, it's not going to increase your control. You have to challenge that capacity close to your maximum ability in order to stimulate an improvement. That's the most fundamental principle of exercise science, which is the principle of progressive overload. So in any given exercise, we have these three dimensions of challenge: strength, range of motion, and control. And there's always some amount of all three of those in any exercise. Like I said at the start, even in a push-up that's mainly a strength exercise for most people, there is still some element of range of motion, some element of control. And so somebody who's recently had a shoulder surgery, they might not have the range of motion to do a full push-up. Or somebody who's got poor control of their torso might not be able to maintain a straight position in a push-up. So there is a challenge to all dimensions of a movement or of human capacity in any movement. But for most people in most movements, there will be one or at most two of those elements that will be the limiting factors. For example, for most people in a push-up, it's going to be upper body strength, not control or range of motion. For most people in a front split, it's going to be range of motion, not strength or control. For most people in a teaser, on the long box, it's going to be control, not strength or range of motion. And so in each of those exercises and in all other exercises, there will be one or at most two dimensions of challenge, strength, range of motion, control, that are the limiting factor. And in any exercise, the dimension that is the limiting factor is the one that gets challenged, the one that gets stimulated to improve. If you challenge your strength, you get stronger. If you challenge your flexibility, you get more flexible. If you challenge your control, you develop better control. That's the principle of specificity, which is pretty much the second principle of exercise science. So an exercise can be very, very hard because it's very difficult to control, or it has a very large range of motion, but it can present minimal challenge to strength. For example, one leg circle on the mat. There's a lot of challenge to range of motion. Now, if somebody has excellent range of motion, like dancer level range of motion, one leg circle is not a challenge to control. Is not a challenge to flexibility, right? But for the average non-athletic person, especially males, speaking as one, one leg circle presents a significant challenge to flexibility. That's the main challenge for me when I do the exercise, and I think for a lot of men also. And the second challenge to the exercise, and I think this is true for almost everyone, is control. Now, whether you do the version, the classical Romana version or the contemporary version, where you keep your hips still and rotate one leg, or whether you do the original Contrology version where your top hip rotates, but your shoulders stay flat on the mat, either way, the control element is relatively challenging. And for most people, it's some combination of flexibility or control that are going to be the limiting factors in that movement, but strength is not going to really be a limiter. And because of that, most people could do one leg circle till the cows come home without getting significantly stronger. Although for some people, like me, it's a very hard exercise, especially people who struggle with pelvic control or struggle with hip flexibility or both. And when I think about, more sort of modern, creative programming options, I think about, doing, say, on the reformer, hands on the carriage, feet on the platform, a light spring in a quadruped position, lifting the knees, lifting a leg, lifting an arm, putting the strap on the arm, pulling back, like that's a really hard exercise. It's sort of a long box pulling straps, but without the long box. And your feet are on the platform, your hands are on the carriage. The carriage is moving a lot because it's unstable. It's got a light spring. You're pulling on the strap. You've only got two points of contact on this unstable surface, or one point of contact. And because your hand is on the unstable surface and your foot is on the stable surface, it's even harder. So that is a very hard exercise. But is it an effective strengthening exercise? No, it's not. Is that an effective exercise for range of motion? No, it's not. Again, assuming somebody has like a relatively average range of motion in their shoulders and hips, that's not going to do much for them. So it's very, very hard, and many people couldn't even do it. And for those who can do it, probably can only do a few reps because it's very, very hard. But it's the limiting factor is the control, not the strength, not the range of motion. In order for something to be maximally challenging to strengths, in order for strength to be the main limiting factor in an exercise, it needs to have a few, there are a few things that you can do in terms of setting up an exercise that will ensure that strength is the main limiting factor of the exercise. The first one is choosing a stable exercise, choosing a stable movement. For example, a push-up. I mean, think of all the exercises that people do to test strength competitively. Okay. Bench press, deadlift, squat, overhead press. These things are all very stable. They're all at least 2 points of contact on the ground. They're all very linear movements, moving a heavy object from point A to point B in a straight line. And because they're stable, we're able to produce more force in those movements. Being on an unstable surface increases the requirement to stabilization. For stabilization, therefore we have to co-contract more muscles around multiple joints, therefore reducing the amount of force output that we're capable of doing with the prime mover muscles. So inherently, the more you increase instability, the more you bias an exercise to control and the less you bias it towards strength. The speed at which we move. We need to, and I think we do this, we do a good job of this in Pilates, is we need to move at a relatively fast pace on the push and a relatively slow pace on the descent. So it needs to be controlled descent. And we need to progressively add load. And here's where I think we don't do a great job often in Pilates, is we need to get to within 2 to 3 reps of failure, which is where you cannot complete another full rep. And we need to get within 2 or 3 reps of that point. And the muscles that we're trying to strengthen need to be the limiting factor in that movement. So if you're going to get to failure on, say, the exercise I described before with one hand on the carriage, 1 foot on the platform, holding a strap with your other hand and the other legs off the floor. Well, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do a lot of reps of that, and most people won't, but it's not going to be strength that stops me. It's going to be balance and control that stops me from doing more. So, dear listener, to summarize, there are 3 dimensions along which we can challenge human capacity in Pilates: strength, range of motion, and control. And every exercise includes some combination of all 3. And some exercises are a pretty good balance of all 3. For example, the full front splits exercise on the reformer with hands behind head requires very high levels of strength, very high levels of range of motion, and very high level of control. However, for most exercises, or at least for many exercises, they tend to be, there tends to be 1 or at most 2 of those dimensions that are the limiting factors on how far someone can go or how many reps they can do with that movement. And whatever dimensions are the main limiting factors in a movement, that's what you're challenging, and that is what you'll stimulate to improve. So if you make your exercises harder, disproportionately by increasing instability or requirement for coordination, well, you're going to develop control disproportionately compared to strength and range of motion. And by my observation, a lot of times in Pilates, we do tend to bias control more than strength. And I think range of motion is somewhere in the middle there for most, you know, on average, I think. So, dear listener, if you want to bias strength in certain movements, choose stable exercises, lift relatively fast and lower relatively slowly, work hard enough, push to within 2 to 3 reps of the point where the client cannot complete another rep, and then progressively add load over time as they get stronger so that they stay within that zone of 2 to 3 reps away from failure. And that is how to increase strength and make an exercise harder so that it will increase strength rather than harder but not effective for strengthening. All right, I hope you found that interesting. Hope you found it useful. Much love, and I will see you in the next one. After 2 exercise science degrees and over a decade and a half of reading research daily, I've condensed all the current science on rehab into a program called the Clinical Exercise Specialist Rehabilitation. Inside the program, I'll teach you to do 3 things. 1, deeply understand how the body works. 2, confidently and expertly rehab literally any client. And 3, get results for your clients. So ultimately, your clients tell their friends and you become known as the go-to expert in your area. This program is completely unlike any education you've done before, even if you've studied with us before, because of the way we've built the learning design. It's an online, flexible, skill-based learning program, which means you keep doing the skills under supervision until you're good at them. It's more of a mentorship model than a traditional course model. So rather than rushing through the content and having sort of one go at everything, you actually just practice live and we give you feedback and guidance and we dialogue and explore concepts together until you're highly skilled and confident. We just keep working the material until you get it. It's not rushed at all. It's not about ticking off the content. It's about engaging, practicing, and applying it until you own it. This is a life-changing program, not some weekend certification. I've put my heart and soul into building this, and I can't wait to share it with you and help you discover your genius for anatomy and rehab. Now, because of the highly interactive nature of this program, we're only taking on 12 students worldwide. The program starts on March the 1st, and the first 12 qualified people to apply will be allowed to enroll. So if you're interested in learning more, click the link in the show notes and download the course guide or go to breathe-education.com and click on the clinical certification menu in link in the top menu. That's breathe-education.com and click on the clinical certification link in the top menu.